Friends, let me pray. Lord God, we pray this morning that as we have heard of your saving work, transforming work, even in Nicole's life, we ask that we would be men and women who understand your good news, are touched by it, and then make a difference in the lives of others. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, the good news is that God is changing lives today, all types of lives, all types of backgrounds, all types of experiences, and we're seeing that happen right here at this church. And that's why over the two weekends, last week and this week, we've been trying to remind ourselves of what God wants to do through us in helping to take the message of Jesus to others. And we said last week, just in case you weren't here, to prepare ourselves, we need to engage in prayer. We need to know our own personal story and testimony. Need to know the gospel as Jesus has revealed it, and that we need to engage with non-Christian people. But it's not enough to do all of those things to prepare. You need to go in mission. You need to go and be part of God's people and God's answer to the world's problems as you step out in faith. And Jesus said to his disciples to go. Matthew 28, you know the passage well. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Friends, the word is to go, not to stay, but it is to go. Whether we live in this community or overseas, as Jasmine will live, we are always going as Christians. We are always missionaries wherever we are as Christians. But we don't do it in our own power, but in God's power. Acts 1, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that's your hometown, and all Judea and Samaria and a wider area, and to the ends of the earth. And that's why as a church we are committed not only to local evangelism, but to global mission as well. Two brief testimonies this week. We may go a little bit over 10 this morning, but just relax and enjoy God. Number one, a young man rang me and said, I've got a friend at work, we've been talking about Jesus. His mother is dying, and he asked the question, will my mother go to heaven? Tough question to be asked in a workforce. It led, though, to a conversation about Jesus and how our salvation is by God's grace through faith alone, not through our good works. Another person wrote to me and said they were down the coast past weekend and they were just had a swim and were drying up in the sun and had prayed that God would give her an opportunity to speak to others about Jesus. And as people walked past, she'd say, good morning, good morning. And the first two people said, yeah, good morning, and kept going. And then said to a third person, good morning, what a beautiful place this is. And the person said, you're not from around here, are you? He said, no, I'm from Sydney. And that person had also come from Sydney, and they carried on a good conversation about family and about church. And a woman said, well, presently I'm not attending a church. This person said, somehow the Lord gave me the courage to share naturally of his faithfulness during my depression years and how he has been my helper, my comforter and my strength through all the trials and troubles as well as the triumphs of my life. So at the end, I encouraged this person to connect with God and to find a local church where she could get the help and encouragement that she will need in her life. Two people who this week were engaging in mission. Not simply preparing for it, but engaging in it. Friends, Jesus tells us to go and spend time with the lost. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jesus hung out with people who didn't necessarily love God or follow God. At the end of Jesus' meeting with the chief tax collector Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. That's his mission. And we are his disciples. We are called to be like him. And our job is to go out and to seek and to play a part in the salvation of the lost. And friends, we have the privilege in our regular ministries each week to do that. In kids and children and adults and youth and school scripture and craft. And craft celebrates 23 years of ministry this coming week. We have some new initiatives. Some have served the homeless at Central Station. Others have distributed hot cross buns and gospel literature at Riverwood Plaza. The new housing estate I'm told they're starting to get some residents in. They're opening the park next Saturday. And we want to visit them and give them gifts and welcome them to the community. We're going to be part of the Riverwood Festival October 25th. But you and I need to go and to be involved, to help with kids, to help with the needy, to do something to be with people who do not yet know and love Jesus Christ. We need close proximity with unbelievers. And friends, when I was a teacher, each day I would walk into a school with 800 students and 70 staff. I was surrounded by non-Christians. Don't think as a pastor I have more opportunities now. I had more opportunities then on a daily basis. Let me suggest to you that you have more opportunities now on a daily basis if you are working, if you're retired and a part of social networks, to witness for Christ. I urge you to take those opportunities. Secondly, go and be flexible. That Bible passage read to us earlier says, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew. And he goes on to say in that passage, and I'm not going to read it now for time, but you've heard that. He says, I am willing, Paul says, to adapt. When I'm with the Jews, I'll follow their food laws. When I'm with the Greeks, I'll just follow their rules and regulations. As long as it is in spiritually neutral areas, I'll make the adjustments. If I need to hang around the bikers and reach the bikers and I have to learn to ride a motorbike, God help me, and put on a pair of jeans and a leather jacket, do any of those things, then you need to change. If you need to put up with certain people using type of language you don't normally use to get to know them and love them and serve them and bring Christ to them, well, let it be. You won't necessarily need to use that language. And people are doing different things to reach different people in society. Talking about missionaries, Hudson Taylor, when he went to China, one of the first missionaries there, you see, he grew hair long and braided like the Chinese men of the day. And he started to dress like them. And the missionaries in the West were saying, what are you doing? You become just like the Chinese people. He says, yes, because that will give me opportunities to love and to serve them and to allow them for me to speak to them that I wouldn't have if I wasn't like them. You know, sometimes we do targeted ethnic ministries. And we've been praying in this church and our friends from Asian backgrounds, God is bringing more people from Asia into this local community. And they're getting saved. And we're praying and thinking, God, how can we best reach people from a Chinese background? And we're asking the question, God, what is it that we need to know about our friends who come from China or Hong Kong, about how they relate and styles of ministry and what they will warm to in conversations, and what do we need to know about hospitality ministry in terms of those cultures? And we are learning together, and it is my prayer, friends, that within the next 4 to 5 years that there'll be a strong, vibrant Chinese church in this church. I don't know how that's going to happen, but we need to be mobilizing people and working together because they're moving into this community. I had a man come to me the other day, a neighbor, and he came with his daughter who speaks English, who doesn't go to a Chinese church. He said, my father wants to speak to you. He wants you to start a Chinese church here. I said, does he have a church somewhere else? He does. But he has so many friends in this area. He said, if you can start a small service or a Bible study, he will bring them. I'm just floating the ideas that we need to go in Jesus' name to try and reach different groups of people. We do that with surfing ministry and Christian surfers, for example, reaching the surfing communities here in Australia and overseas. We do it with children and teenage ministry. We adapt our ministry. You're wondering why the car park is covered in white flour? Blame the teenagers. They just had a big fight on Friday and it's a little bit still messy out there, but we're trying to do things that will be attractive to the teenagers and keep them coming every week so they can hear about Jesus. Number three, go and make the gospel attractive. How do we make it attractive? The biblical writers say that when you live a holy, godly life of grace and love and mercy and justice, then it makes the gospel attractive. Let me just read to you two verses. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. That comes at the end of verses 1 to 10 in Titus, where Paul is saying to the believers in a whole variety of different stages in their lives, young and old, and now slaves and masters, says, live in such godly lives that you will commend the gospel. And people say, well, there's something in how you live that is attractive, and I want to know more about that. 1 Peter 3, wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behaviour of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. You've got a situation where there are two people who are not believers and the woman gets saved. It says, you hang in there and love your husband and be godly and win them over by your behaviour. And friends, I've seen that happen multiple times where one person's come to Christ and soon after the other person's come to Christ. Personal friends and read the stories of others. I was reading another story in John Dixon's book about a young couple called Kim and Christian. They were not Christians, but Kim went to a playgroup in a church. But their little daughter was diagnosed with leukemia. And for a number of years, she went through treatment. But you see, they went to a playgroup and it wasn't overtly Christian. There were Christian mothers who ran it. They didn't do Bible studies or anything. But when they discovered that she was sick, they organized meals and food rosters and visits and money and flowers. And they did all types of loving, godly things to display, to exhibit the love of Christ to someone who was hurting. And a little while later, as they'd received this grace of God through God's people, the playgroup coordinator, Lisa, invited Kim to an outreach event. They'd love Christ. They demonstrated the love of Christ. They spoke of Christ. Then they invited her to a gospel event where this excellent gospel preacher from South Africa, Frank Retief, was preaching. At the end of the message, this is what she said. End of his talk, may have even been during a prayer at the end, I started to shake and to cry fairly uncontrollably. In that moment, the Lord made himself real to me, and I embraced him with all of my heart. But it started with Christians making the gospel attractive by how they lived. That ties up to point 4, go and do good works. Those Christians were living attractive godly lives. They were doing the good works of the kingdom. And they were inviting this woman then to hear the gospel. And God used all of those things together to see her saved. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It says they see your good deeds and they praise God. They see that God is behind it. There is a good God who is working in you. And how about this one in 1 Peter chapter 2? Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. They see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I think that's about his second coming. And therefore, these people see your good deeds. They come to embrace God, and therefore they are glorifying God. They are worshiping God. They are honoring God when Christ comes in judgment day. There's a work that God uses our good works and our loving action to lead people into his kingdom. But friends, there is a danger that if you just live out the Christian life, it won't be enough for most people. Because what I have found is that most people say, oh, well, you do good things, therefore that will get you into heaven. No, the good things are not the things that get us into heaven, but that's what people may think when they see our good deeds. That's why we must promote the gospel by speaking about it in daily conversations. As people see the good deeds, there'll be a point where you need to say, the reason why we do this is because the love of God who sent Christ to die on a cross for our sins and our failures, that I'm not good enough to go to heaven, but this Jesus who died for us is the same Jesus that God raised from the dead, and he is alive today as King and Lord over the universe, and one day he's coming back to judge the world, but he offers us forgiveness and an escape from eternal judgment and offers us eternal life. And by trusting in him, you can have life. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Colossians 4, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. I love that expression. Make the most of every opportunity that God gives you. Don't waste the opportunities. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Not judgmentalism, not criticism, but grace. Season with salt. You know what that means? It's attractive. Say the things that will create an interest in the person that you're speaking to. It is seasoned with salt that you know how to answer everyone. On Thursday, I was at St. George Hospital visiting someone, and I ran into an old friend of mine who had been a previous pastor. Sat down, had coffee with them. We started talking about what we were doing on the weekend services, about what we were preaching on, the importance about evangelism. And he said, oh, it's so important, isn't it, to speak graciously and lovingly. You see, he'd just been in a hospital bed. And next to him, I guess probably three or four others in the room. And he said, someone came to visit another man in the room. And I heard him talking about God and Jesus, and he went on and on and on, he said. And the other guy didn't get a chance to speak. He said, that guy probably thought he was doing a good thing. He was preaching the gospel, but he left. Once he left, the man in the bed next to him turned around and said, man, Paul, talk about a Bible bashing. One thought he was sharing Christ, but what he was really doing, he wasn't listening to the other person. He wasn't engaging in a conversation with the other person. He wasn't asking what the other person thought and what they believed and where they were at in their life, in their spiritual journey. He was just downloading a whole bunch of information. And he probably went home thinking, well, I shared Jesus today. The Word of God says, do it with grace. Your words seasoned with salt. Sixthly, go and invite people to come with you to a place where they will hear the gospel explained. In John chapter 4, Jesus spoke to a Samaritan woman, an outcast. He met her in the middle of the day at a well. As a woman who had had five husbands and was now living with another man. And in the midst of conversation, get that conversation with this woman, Jesus unveiled the truth about herself and revealed the truth about himself as the Messiah. In verse 26, he said, I'm that Messiah that you've been waiting for. You know what she did? She didn't say, well, I'm so excited about this. Tell me how to have eternal life. We're told this. Listen to this. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come with me and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they listened to her and came out of the town and made their way toward him. And the end of the story was, many of them came to believe in him. But it took someone who had met Jesus going out to their friends and community and saying, you ought to come and hear about this Jesus. That's what those Christians in that playgroup did with that couple, who are not Christians. By the way, both Kim and her husband Christian became Christians in due time. He said, come. You know, when people bring their friends to a Discovering Jesus course, it's much better than just sending them alone. You come with your friend. You come with your friend to the Flourish dinner. You come with your friend to the youth night. You come with your friend to the men's breakfast. You invite them and bring them with you. And finally, go in love to those that God brings to our services, events, and ministries. Friends, we are in such a blessed position in this church that God brings non-Christians here on Sunday to our services. That God speaks to people and impresses upon them an interest, and God says to them, you need to know about me, you need to know the truth, your lives need a spiritual dimension, and they just come and sit in our services. So don't assume that everyone who comes to our service on a Sunday is a Christian. Don't assume that at all. Because scattered amongst us are people who are just searching for the truth. Last few months, we had four or five couples with young children. God has just brought. I'm saying go, look outside of your normal friendships, your normal circle of friends. Don't just talk to the same people in the playground area, in the morning tea area, or in the church area. Look around to who God is bringing and show God's love to other people who are just seeking it out. You know, John Dixon, again in his book, says he saw as many people, he used to be a pastor in the local church, he saw as many people come to Christ through simply visiting the church in his 3 years, then came to Christ through evangelistic courses or evangelistic preaching. And he says, no, I'm an evangelist. More people came simply by coming into the context of God's people. They come, they hear the word explained, we sing songs about God, they experience community, and they come to faith in Christ. Go out there, but look around, talk to people, befriend people. Friends, Jesus told us to go because he is in the business of taking broken and lost people and making them new, forgiving their sins, placing his spirit within them, and making them his people, promising them eternal life. Will you go this week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week? Because our going is not, well, just go once. Go and keep going and keep going, because we are a missionary people, because we serve a missionary God. Wherever you go, into your workplaces, your schools, your universities, your homes, your families, your sporting clubs, go in the power of the Holy Spirit. Engage in gospel conversations. And God bless you as you do that. Lord God, thank you for the message of Jesus, that there is forgiveness and new life through Christ and Christ alone. Lord, thank you that you are saving people from sin, death, and judgment. Thank you that this gospel is good news to those who are perishing. And they need to hear it to be saved. Lord, we pray for ourselves that you would give us hope and courage and confidence in your word and in your power, not to be afraid or ashamed, but to gently yet courageously point people to Jesus Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.